A Taste of Philly Justice by Mumia Abu-Jamal. The entire complex of labor regulations and criminal laws was enforced by a police apparatus and judicial system in which blacks enjoyed virtually no voice whatsoever. Whites staffed urban police forces as well as state militias, intended, as a Mississippi white put it in 1865, to keep good order and discipline amongst the Negro population. Although disorder was hardly confined to blacks, virtually all the militiamen patrolled Black Belt counties, often composed of Confederate veterans still wearing their gray uniforms. They frequently terrorized the black population, ransacking their homes to seize shotguns and other property, and abusing those who refused to sign plantation labor contracts. Eric Foner, Reconstruction, America's Unfinished Revolution, 1863-1877. When one looks at the roots of the state's police, we can see clearly the historical traces of what we see today: police as agents of state corporate white power, organized to protect their interest and to oppose the interest of the poor and the black, to keep good order and discipline amongst the Negro population. The recent case of a young black teen named Dante Dawson, killed by a Philadelphia cop in October 1998, illustrates this point beyond question. The killer cop, named DePasquale, was charged with, surprise, manslaughter, was recently dismissed from that charge by a municipal court judge, who, in the very first week of 1999, determined that his shooting of an unarmed teenager did not rise to the level of a crime, and given his fear at the time, wasn't manslaughter. At least five other cops testified that they too would have done the same thing had they the opportunity, and the judge, after a few hours, agreed. Case dismissed. A 19-year-old youth, sitting in his own car, sitting in his own neighborhood, minding his own business, because of some twisted picture in those cops' heads, was shot to death. His crime? It doesn't even rise to driving while black, DWB. It was sitting in his car and being black. Most elected and appointed black officials, their souls sworn to the very state that armed, trained, and pointed that police pestilence upon their neighborhoods, have had nothing meaningful to say about it. Their silence on the death of their youth at the hands of a maddened, murderous police force betrays, once again, their complete obedience and slavish complicity to the system, not to their people. But words are not power, and no matter what they say, they don't have the power to transform that fatal and tragic reality, nor of offering any hope to the tens of thousands of youths who face the fate of becoming tomorrow's Dante. How can they speak out against their political bedfellows, those they have sworn their careers to? The press, ever vigilant in their role as public prosecutors of the poor, ran no editorials calling for DePasquale's prosecution on harder charges, nor for his conviction on tougher charges. Their job wasn't to convict him. Their job wasn't to prosecute him. the young life of Dante Dawson, his murder, and the trial and serious conviction of those who slew him wasn't really a priority, wasn't important, and wasn't done. Once again, the death of Dante Dawson was an expression of the cheapness of African-American life. Dante's life was cheap to the police. Dante's life was cheap to the judiciary. For both have cheated him, and by extension, his family and his community. John Africa wrote many years ago, "Politics have robbed you blind and dug a pit to trap your witness. Why do you think you have policemen? Who do you think jails are for? Crime lies in the den of excess. Prison is for those in need, as a need is an instinct that must be fulfilled, and the jail is the smokescreen to curb that fulfillment. While the jails are abundant with people of crime, it is those who misled them that are the chief criminals. The system ain't no solution. It is the problem." By Mumia Abu-Jamal.